This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Well, Brandel Chamblee does just about everything for Golf Channel. Yep, Golf Central. Yep, live from... might even be in the tower for some of the tournaments. It is a pleasure to welcome Brandel Chamblee back to the Augusta Golf Show after 3 years. Hello, Brandel.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back, belatedly so, but nonetheless. Happy to join you, John.
Was it something I said?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm sometimes hard to reach, though. There's no telling where I'm at or what I'm doing, but usually it's all in about golf.
It's a really interesting time in the professional game. We'll get to a little of that. But the main reason I wanted to have you on was to talk about an article you wrote for GolfChannel.com regarding growing the game, the growth of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. You think what we're seeing in the game right now is organic, is natural, it's just the usual course of events. Should we not be concerned?
Well, no. I think that golf has grown at a wonderful rate. If you go back to say 1980 and compare how many golf courses there were that were open, USGA certified golf clubs, 1980 to the present day, it's exponential growth. It's amazing growth. But if you just take a snapshot of what's going on over the last couple of years, then I said that history does repeat itself. In 1929, the stock market crashed. In 1930, Bobby Jones, arguably the most interesting athlete in the world, decided to retire. So you had a combination of an economic downturn and a star stepping off the stage. So golf did not grow in the 30s. There was really no leader in the game. From 34 to 39, there was nobody that repeated as a money list leader on the PGA Tour, and yet nobody was worried about the game of golf. Nobody was crying for movements to grow the game. And again, the same thing happened in 2008, and then, of course, with the scandal in Tiger Woods in 2009. So if you consider the economic downturn and the fact that the game lost a galvanizing star, none of what's happened over the last few years is surprising.
You know, Arnold Palmer in the middle of all of that. Do you think the game of golf, not just professional golf, does the game of golf itself need a galvanizing star?
Well, I don't know that it needs it. It's wonderful when you get it. You know, you can never predict such things. Nobody could have ever predicted the appeal of Arnold Palmer. I don't know that, you know, we'll ever see anything like him again, nor do I think we'll ever see anything like Arnold or Tiger Woods again. You know, just the way he won, and it was so exciting. But Arnold appealed to everybody, and Arnold brought people to the game that played the game. Here in the United States, Tiger Woods didn't necessarily have that effect. He didn't necessarily bring people to the game that played the game. He brought people to watch the game, and perhaps his impact is better represented in the global growth of the game, because his multi-ethnic appeal, I think, appealed broadly across this globe. I have no doubt that the reason golf is in the Olympics is because of Tiger Woods, or the interest in Tiger Woods, and the hope that he would be able to play on that team. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but nonetheless, golf's going to grow in Asia, it's going to grow in India, and Tiger will have literally changed, literally and metaphorically, changed the face of the game of golf.
Brandel, do you think a conversation could be had about nothing much has changed in the game of golf? And you make this point in the article. It's always been hard. It's always been expensive. And maybe the game hasn't changed. Maybe the golfer, the growing public, has changed. We've changed at our end, putting the game in a little bit of jeopardy?
Well, I think the way golf has been offered up has changed. You know, golf has ties to Wall Street now that it never really had before. So there is a need, an urgency that's felt from Wall Street that trickles down through the various governing agencies and organizations that run this game, where they want increasing numbers at all costs. That's the sentiment that seems to prevail. And I'm saying, whoa, I don't want it at all costs. I don't want to grow this game. I want to preserve this game. I want to preserve its traditions. I don't know what, you know, 15-inch holes will do for the game. Maybe it will make it easier, but it is the difficulty of this game that is its appeal. You know, I mean, one of the analogies, you know, that occurred to me, that golf on a difficulty scale is somewhere between tic-tac-toe and a five-sided Rubik's Cube. Neither of which of those you play, because one's too easy, one's too hard. Golf is appealing, it's beautiful, and it's just hard enough to keep your interest and keep you coming back. I don't want the game to get easier, and I certainly don't want the traditions of the game to be eroded by the movement that I see that, in my opinion, is orchestrated by Wall Street.
We are talking with Brando Chambly from Golf Channel. You know, I do a segment on the show called Why I Love the Game, and almost to a person, Brando, everybody mentions Dad. Dad taught them the game. Dad took them out. Mom, in some occasions. Do you think that's going away?
You know, maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, I still see a lot of kids out on various clubs with their dads out there, so... You know, I suppose, you know, there's some skies falling socioeconomic scenarios that point to, you know, less and less time spent with parents as both parents are working. But I, you know, I see plenty of dads out on golf courses and moms out on golf courses with their kids. I think what is disappearing is the golf professional. The golf professional in the sense of the guy who knows the game inside and out, and then who hires young men and women who he teaches the game inside and out, who have a great connection and passion for the game that they then transfer to the kids. You know, it used to be that I was dropped off at a golf course and hundreds of others in my area were dropped off at the golf course, and we weren't seen again until 6 o'clock at night when our parents came to pick us up, at least by our family members. And we were in good hands, and we were taught by golf professionals who had been courted away from the PGA Tour back when golf professionals left the PGA Tour in their late 30s or early 40s and taught the game. And I think that I have seen an increasing amount of professional managerial types of people in golf shops that are being paid less and less money with organizational skills. And I think if I were running a club and I truly love golf, I'd try to hire a professional off of the tour, entice him to take this job by paying him $200,000 or whatever it takes to get him off the tour, and then let him hire some assistants and then teach the game to young professionals, coming at it from that vast experience that he has. And tell them why it's worthwhile to spend time to learn this game.
Hey, before I let you go, talking about young professionals, what we've seen Jordan Spieth do this year, I have to admit to a bit of a surprise as to how quickly he's been embraced. I mean, he's not flashy. He's more steak than sizzle. And yet it seems like the non-golfing public is drawn to him. I, for one, have found that surprising. Are you at all surprised by that?
Well, I'm more surprised by the success he's had than the authenticity that he brings to the media center. I grew up in Dallas. I have a lot of mutual friends to Jordan Spieth. We went to the same school. Obviously, I was there a lot earlier than he was. So I've kind of watched him grow up over the last 5 or 6 years. So I knew from a personality standpoint, from a maturity standpoint, I knew what was coming. I knew who he was. And I'd heard it for many, many years. I'd been around him in social settings and seen him interact with people who were enormously influential at the University of Texas. And he had the right amount of humility, he had the right amount of confidence, the right amount of everything. And I just hadn't seen that in a young man. So I think what people are reacting to is, one, they love winners, and it doesn't matter if they're a little bit abrasive or a little bit caustic or a little bit edgy, they still love winners. But when you combine that with what he's doing, he's not just winning, he's doing things that basically nobody's done. So that intrigues everybody. And then you expect him to go into the media center and be coy or be abrasive or be arrogant, and he's none of those. He's just a wonderful person. You put those qualities together, and you know, Tiger was chasing Jack, and he was, the analogies were to Jack. But this is more along the lines of Arnold Palmer. You know, people have made that analogy with Phil Mickelson to some extent, by the way Phil played and he embraced it, but there's an element here that you can't quite get at, that you can't put your finger on. It doesn't make sense. He's too nice, he's too normal, he's too humble, he's too everything right. And I think that appeals to everybody, and including the media. The media's blown away and very happy to sit in a room and listen to such a well-adjusted man talk about what he's doing.
I always appreciate the time, and I really appreciate the thoughtful dialogue. Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel. Brandel, thank you for doing this.
You bet. Thank you for the phone call, and let's not make it 3 years next time, okay?
Oh, is that my fault? Thanks, Brandel.
Well, you have my number. Call anytime.